Well, congratulations. You are not average. And I know that about you because you are in church on a Sunday in Jacksonville. And did you know that 80% of Jacksonville is not in church on any given Sunday? So already I know that I am in front of a group of people that are extraordinary, that are anything but average. And that's what we've been talking about in this series over the last few weeks. If you've missed it, you can catch up by going to our website, accesschurch.com. And my friends Joel and Clay have been talking about this idea that we want lives that are anything but average, right? That there's this idea out there that call me anything, but don't call me average. And we don't aspire toward being average. We aspire toward being great. And I don't know what areas of your life you've been wrestling with that or struggling with that, or if anybody's ever categorized you as average and you've struggled with that in the past. But I believe that God wants us to be so much more than average, that He desires for us to live lives that are so much more than average. And also, consequently, since when you gather all of us together, we are the church, that we would be a church that is anything but average. And that's what we're going to talk about today, all that God has in front of us and what it looks like to be anything but average. So thanks so much for being here. I was thinking about this series over the last couple of weeks as Clay and Joel have been speaking, and I was thinking about, there's a book called The End of Average, and in that book, they talk about designing the cockpit for jet fighters. Now, this came about after the jet fighters were introduced in the 1950s, and they were crashing a bunch of these fighter planes in the desert. And they were wondering if, is it because these more powerful jets that were replacing the old propeller-based fighter planes, or one engineer came up with the idea that maybe it's because we designed the cockpit around the average fighter pilot in 1926, and we've really kind of stuck with the same measurements since. And pilots are bigger now than they were back then, and so they went back and they decided they're going to redesign the cockpit around the modern fighter pilot. And so they took all of their measurements. They had over 4,000 fighter pilots in the Air Force. They measured every single pilot. Now, keep in mind that if you're 6'7", you're already not in the program, okay? So they've already got kind of a fairly similar group of guys that they started out measuring, but they started measuring them. They measured 10 different metrics about the physique of these fighter pilots. They measured the length of their arms, the length of their legs, the width of their shoulders, the circumference of their chest, size of their head, all these 10 different things, and they were going to custom design the new cockpit around today's fighter pilot. But there was one 27-year-old engineer in this group, and he was a little skeptic. He was a mathematician, and he thought, I don't know. You know, he's measuring all these guys, and he's thinking, I don't know if this is a great idea to kind of shoot for average with all of this. So he took all the data after they put it all into, you know, a bunch of spreadsheets. He took all the data and he decided he was going to allow for the middle 30%, kind of that center of the bell curve. So in other words, if in the height category, if the center point was 5'9", then he was going to allow for pilots that were from 5'7" to 5'11". Does that make sense? That was the middle 30%. And he decided to see that if we took all 10 characteristics, how many of those pilots actually fell into the center 30%. So you want to take a guess? Out of 4,000 pilots, how many of those pilots do you think on all 10 metrics measured in the middle 30%? 500? 100? Exactly zero. Zero pilots out of 4,000 measured in the center 30% on all 10 metrics. They'd have the height right and the chest right, but their arms were too long or their legs were too short. And I just think that that reinforces this point, this idea that God did not design you to be average. God has not designed any of us to be average. He wants us to be so much more than that, so much greater than average. And so these aspirations you have for yourself, I believe God designed you that way, and that God's own designs and his own intentions are that you would be so much more than average. So over the last few weeks, we've learned that average people exceed other people's expectations. And if that's true of people that are anything but average, then we want that to be true of our church as well. We want to be a church that exceeds other people's expectations. You know, we thought about this. Aaron walked in earlier and he had a t-shirt on that said Access Church, you know, big A. And it just from a distance for a second there, I kind of laughed and I said, what if we had named the church Average Church? It'd be a great name for a church, right? You invite your friends, be like, hey, come with me. What's the name of your church? Average. Just average church. Not very exciting, right? We want to exceed people's expectations. And then here's what happens. When you exceed expectations, here's the other thing that we learned recently about people that are anything but average, is that when you exceed people's expectations, you get relationships that are anything but average. And that is exactly what we desire for you. It's exactly what we desire for us as a church. Now, there's all kinds of ways that that you are not average. And I'm going to run through these pretty quickly. But here's a list of ways that you are not average as a church that I've observed. First of all, y'all are deep. I don't know if you realize that. Maybe that's the first time someone's told you that. You can turn to the person you're with and you just say, hey, I'm deep. Okay? I'm deep. But you are deep. And the reason I know you're deep is because you understand the difference between confusing and helpful. You see, a lot of churches, you go in there sometimes and you hear a message and you walk out at the end and you think, wow, that was deep. But what you really mean is, I didn't understand a thing he said, right? That was confusing. No, deep is not confusing. Deep is when something's actually so helpful and so practical that you can apply it and it makes a difference in your life. When the way that you live is different because of what you're learning, that's deep. When you love people better because of what you're learning, that's deep. So y'all are deep, and I love that about you. Y'all are loving. You love people so well. The way this church responds, the way that you choose to engage in community groups around here just blows me away. Not only just how many of you do it, but how well you do it and how well you understand what community is. It's not this thing where we get together once a month and go watch a movie together. It is where we get together on a regular basis, a weekly basis, and we're deeply invested in one another's lives. And when there's a need or a crisis, we respond and we love people well. Notice I said you're loving, not lovable, because I don't know. My wife is lovable. She's the only one in this room that gets a pass. The rest of us, just be loving, right? It's easy to love someone from a distance. When you get closer, the closer anybody gets to me, the less lovable I am. The closer someone gets to you, the less lovable you are. But people that are loving push past that, work past that, create community and love one another. Y'all are great parents. And I know this first and foremost because you make a lot of babies. It's amazing. There are so many kids back there. Did you know the average church in America has 20 kids for every 100 adults? Do you know how many kids this church has? 80 kids for every 100 adults. Y'all are amazing at making babies. I also know that you're great parents because you've chosen to partner with a church here that says, hey, we're not just going to babysit your kids. We're going to equip you. We're going to teach you how to teach your kids that God loves them, that God made them, that Jesus wants to be their friend forever. Y'all are fun. I know you're fun because you put up with us doing a lot of silly, goofy stuff, and you recognize, you know, you can't hang out at this place too long if you take yourself too seriously. I mean, we take Jesus very seriously. We just don't take ourselves very seriously, and we like to have fun at church. We think Sundays should be fun, so y'all are fun. Y'all are also anything but average because you're busy. Now, busy is not always a great thing, and sometimes you've got to stop and take a breath and create some margin in your life, but I've also recognized that busy people are the people that get a lot of things done, and there's a lot of people around here that are busy. Y'all are get things done kind of people, and because we recognize that about you and your life, we've designed a church calendar that's simple. We don't put a ton of stuff on your calendar because we want you to have time to invest in your friends and your neighbors and your family, and so we recognize that. Y'all are also amazing in the ways that you serve. You are servants. And I say that because, again, you know, you go walk into a typical church and it's 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. Around here, for every 100 adults that we have about 60 adults that are serving in volunteer roles. It's absolutely astonishing. And we're so grateful for every one of you who helped to create the environments that our kids and our teenagers and our adults connect to. Y'all are generous. Y'all are so generous. In fact, you just continue to blow us away with the ways that you understand and put into practice this idea that what you have doesn't belong to you, but it should be leveraged for what God wants to do in the lives of other people. And I am so grateful to be a part of a church that symbolizes, that represents, that lives out all of these things. And we're going to talk about this generosity thing today. And just I want to give you a fair warning because I know sometimes we get nervous when we hear a pastor start talking about generosity and we go, okay, he's going to ask for my money. And here's where we go. And I just want to say right at the front today that we are not asking for anything from you. I don't want anything from you, especially if you're someone who's been hurt by church or burned by church, or you just don't trust church. Maybe you would not call yourself a church person. Maybe you'd say you're not a Christian or a God follower. And I want you to know you are completely off the hook as we talk about these principles and we talk about these opportunities that are specific to our church in the few minutes that we have together. But I also want you to know that we're going to look at a principle that Jesus shared in this message that he gave, this sermon that he gave that Joel has been talking about and Clay's been talking about over the last couple of weeks, called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus talks about our generosity in this. And in this, I think this principle is a principle that you will benefit from whether you believe it or not. In other words, you don't have to believe something is inspired to believe that it's helpful. And so even if you don't believe the Bible's inspired, I think you're going to find that this principle is really helpful. And here's what Jesus had to say about generosity, okay? He said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin, another translation says rust, destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. In other words, anything that you can put your hope in, your treasure in, anything that you're going to invest in that's here in this world, it's going to lose its value. I mean, do you know what the value of a new Range Rover is? You know, it's like $80,000 to $100,000 for a new Range Rover. You know the value of a five-year-old Range Rover? It's like $10. That's easy to pick on the British car makers, right? It's like picking on Georgia State or something. But it's just an easy one. But things, they lose value. They break down. They rust. I don't know when you first discovered that lesson as a kid. You know, for me, I had a 10-speed bicycle. I thought if I got that 10-speed bicycle for Christmas, that was going to be it, right? That'd be like the last thing I would ever want. And I got it, and it became old and rusted and broken, and then I wanted a car. You wanted the next thing. And Jesus says, no. Don't store up your treasures here. They don't last. And he goes on, and he says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In other words, what's going to be in heaven? People. Store up your treasure in people. Store up your treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. In other words, forget about the right now. Focus on the forever. Focus on what's to come and invest in that. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, this is fascinating to me because I had this backward for most of my life. I'd heard this verse a number of times in church. I just never heard it correctly. I just thought that it was where your heart is, that's where you'll put your treasure. And someone pointed out to me several years ago, no, I had it backward, that actually our heart follows our treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart goes. Our hearts follow our treasure. You want to be passionate about people? Invest in people. You want to be passionate about eternity? You want things of eternity? You want things of eternal significance to matter more in your life? Do you want your heart and mind to think and feel more like the heart and mind of God? Then invest your finances in the things that God cares about. Your heart will follow your money. It's a fascinating concept. And we're going to give you some specific ways that we can do that together as a church. But first, I want you to watch this video.
We're Bob and Faith Donnelly, and we live in Avondale.
We are Jake and Autumn Weeks, and we live in Murray Hill.
We're Justin and Jasmine Smith, and we live in Mandarin.
We are Lawton and Sarah Graves, and we live in San Marco.
We are Shannon and Mike Von Balsen, and we live in Arlington.
I was coming back to Jacksonville. Bob and I had just started dating, but just the people at Access just really, really embraced me and embraced us as a couple. And just, you know, the people, you'll notice it when you walk in the door, are just so real and authentic.
And after 7, 8, 9 churches, we said, we'll go back to Access. It was good. Yeah. It was great.
25 minutes, that's not that long. Further. That's not a big deal. Who cares? Let's just go.
Still portable, you know, we had done portable for several years. We're like, we'll just do it. We know how to do it. It's a good church. We're going.
What really captured me was looking at the volunteers and how they were interacting and creating a space for my kids. That's what left me with a very distinct impression about Access.
It's exciting to hear story after story about people who will decide to jump in before they really believe or before they really know why they're even there. And I don't think there's probably many churches that allow you to do that. There's that space and that ability to kind of take your time and not feel that pressure.
If you like people, you know, you just invest in the relationship and then you invite them to Access on a Sunday and the rest is taken care of. You know, you just keep going with that and you can trust that we are going to love those people and take such good care of them once they come in. So, I don't know, it's the best way to do church to me, so.
We feel comfortable inviting them to our church, to Access Church, because we know that upon their first impression of walking into the building, they are going to be made to feel comfortable, welcome, invited, the way we would make them feel if we were inviting them into our own home.
The music's great, the teaching's great, so, and then just some of the, I mean, I think just friendliest people around, so, you know, it's a great place to bring people who are maybe just exploring and want to know more.
I had a guy who cut my hair who was gay, and I felt very uncomfortable inviting him to the church that we previously went to. So it was very, very important for us to invite, to have a church that welcomed everyone.
There's no safer environment that I've ever been to invite anyone, any of my friends.
I think it is, it's challenging to focus on outsiders because you gravitate to wanting to take care of yourself and take care of your family and your friends. So it's really transformational to say that we're a church that's focusing on outsiders.
I think the fact that Access Church is designed for folks who are not in the seats on a Sunday means we're doing something right. I think that's how church should be designed. I think, unfortunately, a lot of churches get that wrong, or it gets lost a little bit, or it gets knocked down the priority list.
This isn't about a denomination. It isn't about like following rules. It's truly about your relationship with Jesus Christ by loving other people. And by loving other people, I mean all types of people.
I feel like, well, I know, we do kids ministry like no one else. And so I think that's going to be so attractive to families who have kids that they want to be connecting to God, but they're not quite sure what that looks like and how to do it. And Access offers so many great opportunities for that. I'm excited to be able to share that with our friends and neighbors.
Yeah. Well, from a parent's perspective, I really think Access is a place to grow and nurture a relationship with other children, a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it also provides tools for us to help us raise our daughter.
I mean, I feel equipped to teach my kids about Jesus and how to have a relationship with them because of what Access does for us and partners with us.
Our family went through a rough time when we lost our dog, Odie. He was hit by a car, and we were just completely devastated by the loss of this special family pet. And specifically our daughter Sadie, she was just devastated and extremely emotional about it. And the very night that we had kind of publicly told people that we had lost our dog and we were really upset about it, Sadie's small group leader showed up at our house with baked goods, balloons, and a card, just showing God's love to her, loving on her, and letting her know that she wasn't alone, that they were mourning with her, and that they were there for her. And just as they left our house, looking at Sadie and her feeling like she wasn't alone, she was loved, and her spirits were lifted because of what her small group leader did for her that night.
So our kids now are 18, 17, 15, and 12, and they've been through all the areas of family ministry. Their small group leaders have poured into them. They love church, and now they volunteer, and they give back and own it. And we can't say enough about how invaluable that has been to us as a family.
Yeah, they were Wamba and Upstreet age when we started, and to watch them grow along with the church and not only develop a love for God that is really personal and that's theirs, but also to see them develop a love for the church and their passion to continue to create environments. And they probably hold us more accountable than anybody to making sure that this church continues to attract people who have felt disconnected from traditional church.
These are the best dollars you're gonna spend. I mean, we all want nice things, but if we're gonna sacrifice, we need to sacrifice for the Lord's kingdom, because you don't know whose lives are gonna change. I've had middle school guys come in that are going through adoption. I never knew a kid that didn't have a family, but you know, because we have that environment where the kids wanna come every Sunday, I mean, even though their life isn't ideal, because somebody gave money, we have PlayStations, we have couches, we have just a fun place where this guy can come and feel love and appreciate it every week.
It's easy to give when you've been at a place where you know that what you're giving to isn't just about what's going to happen on the inside of that church, but it's about what the mission is, what the church wants to do to reach people that haven't been there yet. And that makes it easy to give.
Lots of transactions. There's a winner and a loser in the relationship of giving money to an organization like Access. There's no loser.
Everything is lining up for all this momentum to start in St. John's. You know, there are so many young families there, and we don't live there. And it, you know, to be honest, it's like, it was hard at first when we heard, you know, when we heard that it was gonna move further away from where we are, from where our neighbors. You know, at the beginning, it was like, you know, it's a long drive. But once you kind of look around what your options are, I mean, when you really think about it, you're like, there are no other options. That I don't want to raise my family anywhere else with any other people, you know, doing church this way. And going to St. John's, it's so exciting because there is a huge growth there and there's so much momentum. And I feel like it's just going to be a launching pad for everything else God has in store for other campuses.
But the church isn't for us. So the church, we feel like this church for us is more of a place to serve as opposed to a place for us to really be consumers, and we feel like the consumers of this church are currently in St. John's County.
I'm excited because I get to experience what it's like to try to build a church and a community and a growing community from the ground up, and it's going to be very intimate. I'm excited about the relationships. I'm excited about witnessing the life change of my daughter's peers, as well as some of the middle school guys that I'm going to that I have a relationship with now. I mean, it's all brand new, no script, and I get to be a part of it.
I've seen the increase, I've seen the effectiveness of what happens when we invest in people's lives, and I believe that St. John's is going to open up incredible opportunities, not only for Access Church as an organization, as creating amazing environments, but also with the relationships that we can be intentional about, not only investing in their lives, but watching those relationships flourish within environments of this new place within St. John's County. I'm super excited.
So I think individually, we were kind of both thinking about it, processing, praying about it. And then when we came together, we were both very agreeable on what's that number that we could come up with that we felt like, you know, there, out of that number, it was, we also were like, we want to be wise, so we have money if we need a new roof or something, but we also need to look at what do we not need? You know, like what did we plan on maybe we were going to do in the next couple of years that we're like, we just want to change the plan a little bit.
I don't know why I would not financially continue to invest even more, not only for my own kids, but for everyone else's that's coming into this environment as well, so that these people, our friends, can bring their kids to these environments and experience some of the same things that our family has experienced. Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we invest?
For the campaign, for looking forward at what's next for Access, we both thought about it and kind of prayed about it separately. And it was funny how when we really started to get in and talk about that together, the same number had, we both came to the table with the same number. And we looked at each other, and actually we were driving, and kind of looked at each other and said, you really feel like that's the right number? And we both did.
Somebody came before you to help put you in this position. So what are you going to do to make that change in somebody else's life?
We are for Arlington. We are for the beaches. We are for Avondale. We're for Riverside. We're for Ortega. We're for Orange Park. We're for Mandarin. We're for every part of Jacksonville, because we feel like for so long the church has been known for what we're against. And we want the communities in which we live to know that we're for them. We feel like if God were to show up today, he would say, I'm for you, I'm not against you, I'm not trying to catch you doing something wrong, I'm for you. And so we want this city to know that we are for them as well. And as much as we're for all these different parts of town, right now God's given us momentum in St. John's. And so for right now, for starters, we're gonna be for St. John's.
We're Jake and Autumn, and we're for St. John's.
We are Shannon and Mike, and we are for St. John's.
We're Rich and Stephanie, and we are for St. John's.
We're Bob and Faith, and we're for St. John's.
We're Lawton and Sarah, and we are for St. John's.
We're Justin and Jasmine, and we're for St. John's. And I know there are really good people there, because every Sunday she comes home and does something new that we did not teach her.
I love his laugh. Well, we are for St. John's. We are for people. And for so long, the church has been known for what we are against, and we want our communities, the communities in which you live and in which I live, to know that we are for them. And so while we're for all of these individual communities around town, right now God's given us momentum in St. John's, and we're going to take advantage of that. And so we are for St. John's. So today we kick off this campaign where we are so excited to talk about what God is going to allow us to do, but also the challenge that's in front of us and the responsibility that's on us to make it happen. So here we go. Here's what's involved. 7 acres in the heart of the 11th fastest growing county in the United States. A custom-built facility that reflects our DNA as a church, meaning it's designed for families and kids and all these kids that you guys keep having. Safe and inviting Wambaland rooms for up to 75 preschoolers, exciting upstreet small group rooms, and a theater for 75 elementary students. A volunteer green room and leadership area for families that worship one, serve one, a starting point room, a state-of-the-art auditorium for 270 adults that will double as a student ministry space, and finally, a master plan that allows for an additional 20,000 square feet of expansion. So we are so excited about this. We're fired up about this. We've got a piece of real estate in St. John's County that we've zeroed in on. We've been negotiating on this particular piece of real estate for about, I'm losing track now, I think it's 16, 17 weeks. But we've got a great relationship with the developers, and we're working together on this. We're just kind of working out the details, and trying to finalize things. But this is what it's going to look like for us. The total cost of the project is going to be around $2.5 million. And of this $2.5 million, we need to raise about $775,000 between now and the end of 2018. So we will finance a large part of this project, obviously, but we also need to come up with our down payment and handle a lot of the initial costs involved with acquiring and preparing the property. So we need $775,000 between now and the end of 2018. That's above and beyond our regular giving. And of that $775,000, we need about $400,000 in hand by the end of 2016. Now, that's three tax years. So that's 2016, 2017, and 2018 that we have to raise that money. But we need about half of it between now and the end of this year. And here's what you should know. You should know that Steffi and I were the very first ones that made a pledge. We would never ask you to do anything that we have not already done. This is a big deal for us. We are so excited about this. We're so fired up about this opportunity. But at the same time, we're a little bit scared. We have expenses in front of us right now as a family, sending kids off to college that are bigger expenses than we have ever faced in our life. But Access Church remains the number one financial priority for our family. And so our pledge, we went first. And then our elders went. Our elders have all made their pledges, and our staff have all made their pledges. And I've got to tell you guys, we're off to an encouraging start. It's a great start. But we need you to be a part of this as well. We need a whole bunch of other people to jump on board to reach this goal of $775,000. We have no other choice. We have no other options. We must do this, and we can do this. And the rewards for doing this are absolutely phenomenal. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to be a part of a project like this before. Steffi and I have, and I've got to tell you, it is one of the coolest feelings in your life to drive past a site that you've given money to and see the machines out there preparing the land, and then you see the building starting to go up, and you say, I had a hand in that. I had a part in that. Because I was willing to give financially and sacrifice, then something's happening there. And then later when you see cars parked there and people going into the building and you think, I was a part of that. God allowed me to be a part of something phenomenal. And God has given us this opportunity to be a part of something amazing that he is about to do in a part of the county where honestly there's not a lot of other churches and there are tons of new homes being built and tons of new families coming in, tons of young families who've got little ones and they look at these kids and they realize they need help. And we can provide the hope and the help and the healing that these families need. So we are so excited and we're so excited to be a part of this and we want you to be a part of it as well. Because we don't want to just lay up our treasures here on earth where moth and vermin destroy. We want to invest in people. We want to invest in eternity. We want to invest in what matters and what will last. And we want you to come alongside and join us in this. So there's good news and there's bad news. What do you want first? I'll give you the good news first. The good news is there's a really great, exciting opportunity in front of us. The bad news is it's going to be difficult. It's going to involve a lot of work, a lot of time, and a lot of money. The good news is this wasn't our idea. This was God's idea. He accelerated this whole timetable. He's making this whole thing happen. He's put the land in front of us. This is his idea, and he's inviting us to be a part of what he is doing in his plan. The bad news is it's going to be really expensive. The good news is we already have all the money. The bad news is it's in your bank accounts. So here's where we start. And here's where we get going. You're going to get a folder on your way out today. It's going to review what we talked about, give you all the details for this. And in that folder is going to be a card. And this commitment card is something that we would love for you to pray over and talk over with your family. If you're single, find another single person and talk about this together. If you're married, talk about this as a couple. And we would love for you to pray about this and really think this through carefully over the next 3 weeks. And then 3 weeks from today, on November 20th, we're going to bring our commitment cards here, and we're going to have a Sunday where we all make our commitment together, and we're going to find out, hopefully, by how much we have surpassed this goal and what additionally we can do to bring hope and healing to all these people in Northern St. Johns County. So we're super excited about this. We want you to be excited about it as well. And if you guys have any questions, we'll be out front after the service and would love to talk with you more about this. But God has given us an incredible opportunity. And I just want to say, before we leave, you know, maybe you're wrestling with this and you're thinking, just what if I can't do this? What if I can't be a part of this? If you choose not to do this, then we're still going to love you. We're still going to be your church. We're still going to care for you and your family and respond to you. Nothing changes. We continue to create great environments for your kids. We continue to create great environments for you to learn, for you to engage with God and connect with your Heavenly Father. But you also will miss out on something. You'll miss out on an opportunity to be a part of something that is bigger than you are. And maybe you're asking the question, what if I don't even believe this stuff? What if this is like, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a God follower, I'm not a whatever? And I would say, by no means do we expect for you to be a part of this campaign. Now, maybe you choose to, maybe you want to, maybe you say, you know what, I don't even believe yet, but these environments have been so helpful for me that I want to help create environments like this for other people that would come into this church. But please know that we don't expect this from you. But we do believe that being generous is awesome. Whether you're a believer or not, whether you call yourself a Christian or not, whether you call yourself a church person or not, we believe this idea of investing in people instead of things works for everybody. That Jesus gave us a principle that's helpful for all of us. So if giving to a church makes you nervous, then I would say, fine, don't give to the church, but don't let that be an excuse to not be generous. You need to be generous for you. It's good for you, and it invests in other people. We would love to have you join us. We're so excited about this journey. The next 3 weeks is going to be exciting. We hope to close on the land after the first of the year. And then construction starts and off we go. And we just cannot wait to see what God does. But first, we've got to come up with the funding. And we need you to pray about that and think about that. And then join hands with those of us that have already said, we're going to do this. We're going to invest. It's going to be our highest and best financial priority. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of what you are about to do in the lives of so many people. Thank you for allowing a group of us to just be here right at the beginning and to sense we don't know what this is going to look like, the people that you're going to bring through those doors, the ways that you're going to change their lives, but you've allowed us, you've invited us to be a part of it, and we just want to say thank you, and we're so excited. God, I ask that you would work in each one of our hearts over the next few weeks, not just for what it means that we can do together collectively with our finances to do something amazing, but because of what you want to do in our hearts individually to stir us to be generous people. Help us to surrender, to let go, to give to you. We ask all this in your name. Amen.